I wonder what you do when the pressure of life gets a bit much, when perhaps things pile on top of you, when there's a particular problem which is clouding everything else and you can't see beyond it. What do you do? Perhaps you turn to music, or perhaps you turn to a novel, perhaps you go for a walk, maybe. Perhaps you don't get up in the morning. You just sort of put your head under the bed covers and stay in bed all day. Or perhaps you've got a close friend you might want to go and see. Or perhaps your family serve that purpose for you. We all have such moments when life gets a bit much and we have different ways of coping with that. Well, Emmaus, in that gospel story, represents those places we go to and those things we do when the pressure of life becomes too much. Because as our gospel reader said, this is Easter Day, the first Easter Day. And everything that's been happening has happened in Jerusalem, which still today is just the same politically and religiously turbulent place that it was then. If you read Simon Montefiore's book, Jerusalem, you get a flavour of the sort of city it was and still is. And so much has gone on in such a short space of time that these two people, we're told that one is a man, Cleopas, but we're not told who, maybe they were husband and wife, who knows. But their resource, what they do when the pressure, when lots of things have happened they don't really understand, what they do is they seek to walk. And they walk a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, trying to talk together about everything that's happened, to try and make sense of it all, to escape from the noise of Whitney, to come to the peace of Ducklington, if you like, after the beer festival, you know. And in that place, in that emotional and spiritual place, the Lord, unrecognized, draws alongside them. Notice it's really significant, the ambiguity of all the Easter resurrection appearances. If you think that faith and doubt are opposites, they're not. Faith and doubt, this is so important to get this right, faith and doubt are sisters, and they always go together. The opposite of faith is not doubt, it's certainty. We don't have certainty in our faith. There's always an ambiguity. We're required to make the leap of faith. And notice the first thing that Jesus says in this gospel. This is his big day. You know, I was watching Fulham play Brentford yesterday at Craven Cottage. And we got to the playoffs. It was our big day and everybody was shouting and screaming, you know, looking forward to the playoffs and getting to the Premier League and all that stuff with my son, who I go to Fulham with. But Jesus doesn't do any of that sort of waving his hands and this is my big day and I've risen. And all. He just asks a very gentle, quiet question. What things? There's a gentleness, an ambiguity about his Easter appearances, requiring us always to make that step of faith, not doing that for us at all. There's always an element of doubt in faith. Faith and doubt walk together in our lives. And so they bring their questions, their doubts, their misunderstanding to this unknown stranger. And he asks them, invites them to look at those same doubts, those same uncertainties, through the perspective of Scripture. That's what he's asking them to do. Easter gives us new eyes, new vision. The facts are the same, but we look at them with different eyes, different vision. And he asks them to look at those things that they don't understand through the prism, through the perspective, through the glasses of Scripture. I mean, I hope you have opportunities, groups maybe, informal groups, formal groups, in which you can look at all the facts of your own lives, the things that you struggle with, the joys and challenges of your own life. I hope you have groups in which you can look at those things through the eyes of Scripture. Because what that gives you and what your faith gives you is new vision, new glasses. And where two or three are gathered together, that's where we get that new vision. And I hope you have opportunities to do that in your church life. So as they do that, time passes quickly. The 7 miles whiz by, and they arrive at the pub where they're going to spend the meal in the evening. And notice what Jesus does. Still unrecognized, he makes as if to go on. He doesn't force himself upon them. There's always the necessity of invitation. They have to say, please stop with us, stay with us. They have to make that invitation before he responds. And furthermore, they have to make space in their lives for him. They have to make that space. That's the point of beginning each day with a space and a time for God. Now I'm retired, I'm no longer paid to turn up to church and say my daily offices, but it's still really important that I do. And so I always begin each day with 20 minutes silent prayer. And the point of that is to make space for God during the day. And it's as it were filling up a well. And I can draw upon that well through the day that follows. And that's what we do when we're praying, when we're praying. We're not saying words particularly. Words aren't so important. At the beginning of the day, we're just making space for God. Be it 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever you have time for. So Jesus stays with them and they have the meal and he is finally recognized, as we sang in that song, be known to us in breaking of the bread. Be known to us in the breaking of the bread. He is finally recognized in the breaking of the bread. Perhaps you know that famous painting by Caravaggio, in which it's hanging in the National Gallery, in which we see Jesus breaking the bread and the two strangers, a gasp of recognition, and one of them has his arms open like this as they suddenly realize who this is. They've broken open the word, which is what I do, which is what preachers do. When they preach, we're breaking open the word so that you may recognize the Lord in the breaking open of the word. And in the same way, in a moment or two, as we break open the bread, we pray that we may recognize the Lord in the breaking open of the bread. And that, incidentally, is why we have the peace. We're not sort of saying, oh, good morning, how was it? Well, it's probably, maybe you can say those things. But the most important thing we're doing in the peace is to recognize and greet Christ in one another. That's what the peace is. We're recognizing Christ in one another and greeting Christ in one another as we recognize Christ in the scripture and recognize Christ in the bread. We also recognize Christ in one another, and that's what the peace is for. That moment of revelation is very fleeting. It comes and it goes. Jesus disappears. I'm sure you've probably had it read to you lots of times. You know R.S. Thomas's poem, The Bright Field. R.S. Thomas, a Welsh priest who of the 20th century. He says in his poem, I have seen the sun break through to illuminate a small field for a while, and gone my way and forgotten it. But that was the pearl of great price, the one field that had the treasure in it. I realize now that I must give all that I have to possess it. Life is not hurrying on to a receding future, nor hankering after an imagined past. It is the turning aside, like Moses, to the miracle of the lit bush, to a brightness that seemed as transitory as your youth once, but is the eternity that awaits you. That transitory moment when the sun lights up the field, is the eternity that awaits us. That's why the Jesuits have a practice at the end of each day of something they call the examen, which means sitting at the end of the day, imagining Jesus is next to you, and just going over the events of the day, but more importantly than that, not just the events of the day, but noticing our feelings when our hearts burn within us, or when the opposite, when we had a sort of down moment, we thought, oh, Lord, not that again. Just noticing the events and the feelings, our feelings that accompanied those events, so that we will say, as those disciples did not our hearts burn within us? We have to notice those moments. That's the point of having a daily examen at the end of each day, whenever you've got time to do that, making that a daily habit, because we need to notice when our hearts burned within us, because that was when the Lord was particularly with us. And they're only fleeting, those moments, and we need to notice them. So make that your daily spiritual practice. And that recognition of our hearts burning within us gives them great energy. So they rush back, still Easter Day, rush back the 7 miles. And I hope, perhaps not every Sunday, but I hope what you get here gives you that same energy. So you long to rush home, not just to your Sunday lunch, but to actually tell people how your heart's burned within you in this service. When this preacher came, we hope he never comes again. We get our vicar back and everything is as normal, you know. So, well, I hope you get some of that excitement from what happens here on Sundays. And you're encouraged to rush back in the sunshine and tell everybody else, including those bell ringers who left, as bell ringers always do. Bell ringers always leave. They never stay. You rush to tell bell ringers, oh, sorry, did you stay? Hooray! Good for you. I'm really glad you stayed. That's 10 out of 10 to you. So, but the 4 of them didn't. Well, now, one of them was a Catholic. I know she went to the... That's, she can do it. She's allowed to do that. But the other three didn't. So I can say these things. I'm only coming once, you know, never again. So I hope you get a real excitement for being here. So just summarizing this wonderful passage. Take it home and read it again and again. When the pressure's on in your lives, do make room for God. Make that a daily morning practice. Read scripture together and look at the challenges and joys of your own life through the prism of scripture. Remember that faith and doubt always go together. And Easter is about looking at the events of our lives with fresh vision. Pray that you may recognize the Lord in the breaking open of the word and the breaking open of the bread. And make a daily habit at the end of each day of an examen, noticing when your hearts burned within you. When the Lord was there, you may not have recognized him at the time. We recognize him looking back. That's what we have to do. Not always at the time, but looking back. And share, it's a natural thing, share what you have experienced here. And so we pray together today's collect. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy made glad the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us, that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.